This is the Team Builders Podcast, building better teams.
In order to get the best success for the business, it can't be just a one-way street. So being collaborative and being engaged is what the business requires. And the collaboration, the better it becomes, the more successful the business can be.
This is the Team Builders Podcast with Stephen Haseley, Jerry Crowley and Jonathan Haseley.
Hello and welcome to the Team Builders Podcast. In this podcast, you'll hear insights from what makes a great team, in-depth interviews from some of our business leaders and clients that we work with around the UK, as well as hearing from some of the network of wonderful team-building partners that we have across the globe. I am joined, as always, by my two co-directors, Stephen and Jerry. How are you today, gents?
100%.
Yes, Jonathan, I tell you what, I didn't run this morning, but I did do a Joe Weeks workout. So standing here now, I'm feeling a little bit, over the weather, but I'd be better for it.
The most trained man on the planet, Jerry, has made it to the day. Thank you, Jerry, for that. We always love checking in with your training regime.
I was considering doing some yoga, but not yet.
That's a step too far. Yeah, a step too far. Well, gents, this time around, I am keen to catch up and chat a little bit around collaboration, what it means to break down silos, how we can foster better collaboration within teams. I think that's one of the really key aspects that we find a lot of our clients asking us to work with them on within their own little teams, whether that be teams of 10, 15, 20, or of course, as you know, some of those larger groups that we've been working with, 200, 300, 400. So all about the challenges of breaking down silos and how we can foster better collaboration within teams across the board. So I'm going to jump straight into it. What are some of the biggest challenges for companies trying to break down silos within teams?
I'll just jump in here first because the word silo has become a word used in business. I'm not sure if it was meant for that. Really, it's a word for working individually within a group, and then those groups working individually against the team, or not necessarily against, but off to one side of the team. So that's important to, and why it's become such a word, it's just because it's easy to identify the issue in hand, I think. But definitely, as we, from our work and practice, we get asked, surely on a daily basis, Jonathan, but easily four times a week, like, how can you fix a silo? And there's no immediate answer apart from the fact that you want a team, so you have to create a team. You don't have to fight against a silo. You shouldn't fight against it, because smaller groups are effective. It's just making those smaller groups aware of the bigger team at hand. We were working with, am I allowed to say the company name? Don't know if I should. Okay, it was an oil firm, keep it safe. And they said, we have a difficulty, and they used the word silo. So myself and Stephen said, yes, you know, very familiar, let's go meet the team. So we arrived in a hotel in London, and there was two oil businesses there working on the same project. And honestly, they sat on opposite sides of the rooms, and myself and Stephen were like, this is a small bit strange. Generally, silos are quite cute in how they operate. You know, they're not as obvious as this particular one was. I think because they were different companies too, but they were on the same project, it became very defensive. And so we stood up and we introduced the day, and this person, I suppose, who was representative of silo one, let's call it, said, we're not taking part. But we looked at each other and we thought, okay, not sure how to handle this. And then the people on the other side of the table stood up, and a full-on, like, I won't call it war, but a full-on shouting match. You know, you're to blame for this, you're to blame for that, you did this for this. And it was like, honestly, it's like a child's tea party that had gone awfully wrong with adults. But that's the tough side of a silo. And what good came out of that was everybody sat down at the explosion, and another person at the end of the table stood up and says, we were needing that. And I think from Steve or myself, that was the worst start, but actually the best start of that, because they set the scene. And the freshness of their manager to organise it, I think that shows the importance of trying to break it down. He knew that he couldn't break it down himself. He knew the explosion was needed, but he did it in a controlled environment, you know. No. Steve, I'll tell you a bit more about it, but it was vicious, one of the words, yeah.
I think reflecting back on it, it was a conflict of culture in two different companies. If I remember, one was private and one was public. And so there's a bit of a conflict in culture and a bit of a conflict in communication and shared values. But I think that in order to build the team back again, they had to break it down to the lowest common denominator, which was conflict. And once they resolved those conflicts around that table, we were able to get back onto more positive things and work on things that enhance their performance, such as communication, leadership, planning, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, it definitely had opportunity to be able to clear the decks and start off that, you know, we're all working together for the same purpose, even though our individual visions and values were slightly different on that occasion.
And Stephen, when you mentioned that there about culture, in fact, do you feel that is where one of the big challenges comes in with silos? It's the lack of a shared vision, an understanding of each other's culture. Is that one of the key components that you think that we would try to address with them?
I think that being one of the older or more mature members of our team, I would say that one of the challenges I see is that the three leading companies or the biggest companies in the world are technology companies, which should be an enhancement to the human race and should be an enhancement to individuals and teams and businesses across the world. But I do see a situation whereby people are more forced into silos and communicating on a more remote basis, and therefore that shared social experience has become more of a challenge for them. And it becomes easy to communicate, but not easy to communicate on a personal and a social level. Whereas what we try to do, both through a virtual world and in the real world, is bring them together, show them that people are people, and whilst they may come from a different background or culture or different genders, et cetera, different age groups potentially, that, you know, they all want to do something that makes them feel proud in the workplace, pays them their wage, that they can reinvest back into themselves and their family and be proud of their station in the workplace and want to achieve more. I don't think I've ever worked with a team who want to be less successful. And that goes right through from IT companies, banks, retail, et cetera, et cetera. I do believe that most people, 99%+ of people, want to work for a good, successful company and have that as a reflection of themselves as well.
Absolutely. And I think, Jerry, you know, sticking with culture as a theme and a thought, so many of the people that we work with, you know, they really do consider that of utmost importance when it comes to collaboration as a whole. Is that something that you've identified or that you see with lots of the, you know, groups that you've been working with recently?
Yeah, it doesn't matter where you are in the world. Everybody understands working together. That's a beauty, isn't it? I think it's the behaviour of the people is what sometimes can be the stone that trips them up. In order for them to work better together, they need to understand the purpose that business wants them to have, and also to be, you know, respect is a loose word, but they need to respect each other's cultures in a way and work within the boundaries of what that's laid out. Collaboration has become a big word in our business, I must say, and even more so now we're moving that collaboration talk or conversation into engagement, because the people need to be engaged with the business in order to get the best success for the business. It can't be just a one-way street. So being collaborative and being engaged is what the business requires. And the collaboration, the better it becomes, the more successful the business can be. I think informal meetups, we've heard previously in one of our other podcasts about having your team meet up out with the team. I think that's a really good way for businesses to improve their collaboration between their employees. I think Stephen mentioned there working remotely, but meeting face to face remotely is very, very important. And tea breaks, set events, social events. We all love the old Christmas party, but it can be as simple as a town hall every week. In our business, we have our monthly catch-up. I remember discussing that, and it's always a race to get there. I wouldn't say it's a chore, but the minute you get there, it's a whole different experience. So all I can say is the more we can meet your team and have them hear from you and you hear from them, the better your business is going to be.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, just to draw on some recent experience from my perspective, working with a client in Wales, they have two very obvious divisions within their team, both operational divisions, but both deliver different parts of the business. And after a couple of days of working with these divisions across the board, it became very apparent that all they really craved or desired was the opportunity to spend some more time with each other out with the business environment and to have more of a thought process around empathy and engagement, not with your business problems, but just who you are as individuals and the opportunity to share some time together, whether that might be shared lunch breaks on a Friday. And that was something that they used to do and they stopped doing, and they realized that whenever they got it back, or that's something that they should bring back, how much added emphasis that will place on one team and that kind of really collaborative culture. And for the business leaders within that organization, that was not necessarily a light bulb moment, but made people realize that, yes, that's all we are looking for, some extra time, some extra effort and some extra energy that goes into sharing some time with each other. That's a big thing for sure.
And so picking up from what you mentioned there, Jonathan, I was facilitating myself quite recently, and one member of the team, and we had the office manager, we had everybody in the about 18 people in the group, and they said, well, why should I give up my free time to talk about the business? It's my free time. I come into work, I finish, I go home. And another team member who wasn't in any management role stood up and said, well, if the business is giving us an extra stop and work at 4 to work on our engagement between 4 and 5, surely you can give up something. And there was tumbleweed like through the office, and I thought, I was high-fiving myself behind the wall, you know, because what bigger win can you get than somebody else saying it for you? Like, they wanted all, take. Sometimes it is the business that gives us the opportunities. I think that's something that sometimes we forget. The business gives us the opportunities. I heard, I think it was a famous golfer, I think he was, I can't really remember off the top of my head, but they said, without the opportunity you gave me, I wouldn't have an opportunity. Yes, it was about the PGA. I was watching the Full Swing. And Dustin Johnson said, because they said, how do you feel? Do you feel guilty about leaving? And he said, about leaving the PGA, for those that don't follow golf. And he said, I don't feel guilty. I feel grateful for the opportunity they gave me.
Yes, no, you know, totally agree. And I think, you know, one thing that I find whenever we're working with our clients and putting these particularly collaborative team building sessions together, where the true focus is on that collaboration and breaking down silos across the board, they really want to talk about how they can measure that success and how they can decide, okay, yes, that's where we're going to, that's where we want to get to. Have we made progress there? Stephen, any thoughts around how teams that we work with can think about how they can measure the success of breaking down silos and really fostering a collaborative environment within their business?
I think that the successful teams that we've worked with in the past have all shown tremendous degree of integrity. And that means being honest about what they can contribute to the team and what the team expects of them as well. And when we've played teams that have played full out, they've certainly played within the rules of the game or the task or the challenge. And when they win, other people in the group support that and cheer them, because they know that they have really applied what they know to what they don't know to get success. And the teams that try to short circuit that, I'll not use the word cheat, but I'll say lose their integrity, aren't applauded, because integrity is one of the most important cultural underpinnings of any successful team on the long term. And the most successful teams are those who create success, not just within a week or a month or a year, but year after year after year, and have generational responsibility for their employees and the success long term of their company, no matter what challenges come over their doorstep.
Yeah, and I think when you mention that, it generally, it's pretty evident for most people within the team, and certainly from us as onlookers sometimes, to recognize where teams do have a lot of cohesion or collaboration within their group, and for those teams that are perhaps struggling with that element. So generally, I would find that from a feedback perspective, just chatting to the group members and understanding, does it feel like a collaborative environment? Do projects feel like they are moved forward because that they have, you know, a real team focus together? It's generally fairly evident for those teams and the people within them as to whether they, you know, really adopt that collaborative working process, for sure.
Yeah, the pace of the leader dictates the pace of the team. And I think if the leaders aren't showing how to collaborate, the chances are it's going to feed down the chain, isn't it? So they need to lead from the front.
And also, again, not just do what I say, but do what I do. And I think some of the best leaders we've experienced haven't potentially won every single trophy or been the best in the room, but they've created a great team environment so everybody feels like a winner at the end of the session. Everyone has learned something about themselves and their teammates that they couldn't have done just sitting around a table with a flip chart and a pen and paper discussing communication leadership strategy. We can really show that by the delivery of the event, so that we can really make sure that that filters back into the workplace the next day, week, month, however many months afterwards as well.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, one final thought from myself on that perspective is that collaboration is an ongoing process. There's no such thing as, okay, we've achieved it, we're now a team, we're now perfectly cohesive together. You know, these get-togethers, working sessions that we perhaps deliver for our clients, or whether they're just some of the companies that are working on themselves, the real focus is around marginal gains, continued improvement, you know, getting towards where they want to be and working on that all the time, not just expecting a quick fix. And I think that's a really key element of what collaboration is and what a true high-performing team really dictates and shows in their working environment.
I'm not sure if it's achievable to measure success in a team-building event. I think, not that I want to really say this, but I think we can be the catalyst to start or enhance that process.
That is a good thing to say. That's a great thing to say.
But I think it's the company ethos and their culture which will perpetuate that.
I think sometimes one of the key elements that many clients address with us is how we can really achieve a measurable outcome with the product or service that we've delivered for them from a teamwork and team building perspective. And I guess that's always a bit of a challenge for us because it's not always easy to just give a you're going to increase engagement by 15%, et cetera, et cetera. But I know we really work hard on trying to deliver some measurable outcomes. And in fact, Jerry, we've been working on a brand new product that we include as part of our team building exercises, a facilitated discussion that allows people to really share their thoughts with each other. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
It helps them identify where they are right here, right now, as a starting point to their journey to be better in whatever area they're discussing, and collaboration is one of those. We call it the team assessment tool. And after taking part in the experiential experience that we have at us, they are set a series of 6 or 7 learning outcomes that are brought out within that experience. They have to grade those and how they feel they performed. They have to set some actions on how they could improve their performance. And then that gets related to where they feel they are at in the working environment. So it takes them through the journey of a safe room that they had experience with us in, and opens up the wider question of where are we within our work. That comes up on a visual graph as well as written word. So different people have different ways of taking in the information. They can see it on a graph or they can read it, and it gives them a really good starting point. And just to touch briefly, we have done this with quite a lot of businesses, but one in particular that comes to mind, they used it twice already over the course of 6 months. So they reviewed how they got on and did they perform better since we left them than when they got to. So that turns team building, if you like, into we should be doing it, but why are we doing it, into, well, actually you can get some measuring tools that you can use, analytics if you wish, to use going forward in your business to see where you're sitting and where your team are.
I think when teams come ask us to help make them a better team, they're already a good team. To make them slightly better, we can offer them a full range and portfolio of events, activities and services as a catalyst to try and really make them focus onto those things which should be able to really focus on communication, leadership, planning, strategy, et cetera, et cetera. But the key is to bring that learning back into the workplace, both within your own heart and within your own mind, and that within the culture of the company as well. And success does leave clues. What you focus on and what you work at, hopefully, is a thing that you can measure, and hopefully is a thing that should be improved. But again, that comes down to the company understanding what will motivate their team and themselves and what their clear goals and vision are for the future.
Awesome. Thank you, Stephen. That's some great insight there for sure. Folks, if you've liked what you've heard, you can check out all of our podcast episodes available on our website, teamchallenge-company.co.uk. You can even learn a little bit more about our team assessment tool that Jerry talked about, a great way to focus on measurable outcomes from your next team building event. Lots more to check out on there, insights from some of the top businesses that we have worked with across the world, as well as wonderful case studies from recent events if you'd like to check out anything that you're thinking about for your next team building event. For now, from myself, from Stephen and from Jerry, we're going to say goodbye. Gents, it's been a pleasure having with you both today.
Thanks, Jonathan. Look forward to the next one, hopefully.
Absolutely. Back on the horse again for the next one.
Superb. It'll be Jerry's next training session that we'll be listening to. Thanks again, folks. We wish you all a great day, and we'll catch you next time on the Team Builders Podcast.